Mr. Alonzo.
Jackie, what's happening? Jackie J, how you doing?
I mean, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I didn't really want anything. Just checking on you. You know, not trying to ask you back on the show or nothing like that. Wanted to know how life treating you, you know, see what I can do for you. I don't want anything because, you know, the show doing great. Show doing real great, blowing up. People still talking about the show. They like, man, you know, you don't need no co-host. You doing fine by yourself. And I'm like, yeah, but that's my way of giving back, you know?
Well, I've been doing fine, and I'm glad to hear that the podcast has been doing great, but you really caught me in an awkward time. I'm kind of busy right now.
Wait. You know, we go way back. You know, I'm your daughter's godfather, remember? You know, we have to look at my perspective on things. You know, there are perspectivities involved in this. You know, we have those little debates, typical stuff. That's how we do. We go back and forth. You know, we do those little jokes and, you know, you pick on me and my height and I pick on, you know, everything about you usually.
Well, number one, I'm going to need you not to say that word with activities. I'm going to need you not to say that again. And
that's
number
a real
two,
word. That's a real word.
You're right. You are my daughter's godfather. But I'm going to need you to ease up on the way back part because only one of us was a waiter at the Last Supper. So I'll talk to you when I talk to you.
Wait. Hold on. You know, that didn't come out right. You know, we cool. You like my little sister. We have to do this and think about the family. This for the family. Remember what we talked about, you know, the unknown preacher L.A. We're going to do this and, you know, change the world, you know. So I thought about a few things that I could work on, you know, no more, you know, parking down the street, validate parking. Bam, I got you. No more Hot Pockets. Real meal after every recording. Bam, you know, I got it. And I'll put your name on the social media post. But this Jackie and the unknown preacher LA, that's just a little too far, Jackie.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
It's us. It is us. Welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, aka LA, aka Uncle Zoe. In other words, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen, amen, amen. So, as you heard, I made a lot of concessions to bring Jackie back, but she's still not here. Jackie, it's your boy. I'm gonna remember this. You hear me? I'm gonna remember this until you do right by me. Y'all know the rest. More to come, y'all. So what a beautiful day it is to serve the Lord. This is a great day and a beautiful day the Lord has made. I'm thankful for each and every one of our listeners. So far, we have named two people who will join us in Kinston on June 28th. You don't want to miss this event. And so far, we announced two names. U-House, gospel rapper extraordinaire. California's own Christian comedian, KP Crayon. And the third person, Sosa Brown, y'all. Sosa Brown is going to be in the house, man. June 28th is going to be bananas. So if you are following sports, Simone Biles, who, by the way, I'm a big fan, incredible athlete and person, but Simone Biles talked about this and said her decision not to compete would have been easier to explain if she said it was due to injury. And she said very few people could relate to her blaming it on a mental health issue. And I don't know what you all think, but I totally agree with her. And if you think about it, in the age of social media with keyboard bandits, things like that, social media could add to an already stressful situation. And it just breaks your heart. You know, she talked about the battle or the struggle she had during the Winter Olympics in 2021, which caused her to pull out of a number of events. And I remember this, people on social media making a mockery of mental health and implying that she was weak and society as a whole was weak. And it just blew my mind to read some of the insensitive language on social media. And we have to also remember she was sexually assaulted. And from what I recall, she internalized it. So shame on anyone who's insensitive to her plight. She's a true survivor. And praise God, she's talking about therapy and how it's working. Now, I know that stepping out has, and I know it will empower others to do the same. So we commend her and her course of action. And so this story allows us to segue into our next segment, our guest. Now, let me tell you about our guest. Let me say this. Well, first, I'll back up and say we have had, and people are saying this, some of the most amazing, colorful, and interesting guests. And it's just been 8 weeks. 9 weeks today. God is so good. And nothing has changed this morning. Our next guest is the host of Mended Mondays on Instagram. She's a beautician, a youth mentor, and a motivational speaker. And man, when I tell you, she has a story to tell. All the way from the United Kingdom, the amazing, unique Natty, y'all. Unique, what's going on?
Hi, unknown pastor. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. No, thank you. And I just want to say that we salute you. And first, we share a similar passion when it comes to mentoring the youth. So tell us first about your mentoring program. What are you doing to guide our young people?
So one of the ways that I use to interact and mentor young people is my skills of being a beautician, mm-hmm. be it male or female, because, you know, they come to get their hair done and they want to learn. So I use my skills to teach young people. I started doing this back in 2018. Mm-hmm. when I decided to have a youth workshop for teenagers to come in and learn how to do hair while mentoring them and empowering them. That is when that started, and I've just continued over the years, taking them to live by me sometimes while they're going through problems at home. It is just a passion that have grown over the years.
That is amazing. And so tell us about the motivational piece to it, or is that one in the same? Is there another dynamic added to that?
So there is another dynamic. So when I started doing it through the salon in 2020, the desire grown, and I started Broken Crowns Can Still Be Mended, which is an online group where they can be empowered on WhatsApp every day, daily affirmations, and where they receive one-on-one mentoring, coaching, and counseling for free.
Wow. It's awesome. Awesome. And so I've watched your Mended Mondays, and I was fortunate to catch you on the beginning of this journey of Mended Mondays, I think. And you have some quality-based topics. You talked about anxiety, depression, trauma, and overcoming or surviving sexual abuse. And, you know, initially we wanted you on the podcast to talk about the mental health and the motivational piece. And when you and I talked, you shared a more compelling story. So what are you willing to share today?
I'm willing to share everything.
Okay.
So based on my experience of surviving sexual abuse, rape, from a young age into adulthood, I started Mending Mondays because I realized there were a lot of people that were going through the same things, and things that I overcame, there were people that stuck struggling with it, and or they did therapy, they still didn't know how to move forward when the process of therapy ended. So that was the reason for me starting Mending Mondays, to be an advocate and a voice for survivors and victims.
Wow. It takes a lot of strength. So again, like I said in the beginning, I salute you. And how does it feel able to use social media to tell this story?
Let me be honest. At the beginning, I wasn't fond of it, but then, you know, people keep telling me you should speak. There's so much people, you know, and I've decided, okay, let me do it. I was extremely nervous the first time being on social media, but hearing the feedbacks from people that I've never met in my life, and seeing them messaging and seeing that they are prison officer and talking about anxiety helped them so much. It made me realize that this is a God-given purpose.
It is. And would you say that there is a level of empowerment connected to this course of action? You know, going on social media and telling your story, it seems like it's therapy in itself and it's empowering. What do you say?
Yes, it is therapeutic for me and empowering, because it has made me realize things that I can now speak about. Like on my last topic, you know, was I went to the details of the steps of how my abuse and sexual assault took place. And I have never done that on a social platform before.
Wow.
So it brought healing to me that, hey, your voice is now being heard and you're helping others heal in the process.
Yeah, and I watched that. It was powerful and compelling. And it made me think about this when you first told your story. Again, very courageous, by the way. But did you feel you got the support from friends and family that you needed?
When I told my story on social media, or when I told my family what took place?
How about both?
When I told my family found out what took place, they were very supportive. My mom and dad and my siblings were very supportive. Mm-hmm. You know, they will always check up on me. I had full support from friends and family when I told them what took place. on social media, there were people who tell me that why am I speaking about it? I don't need to be so open. Just say I was sexually. There were people who wasn't pleased that I was being so open. And then there were the others who were saying thank you because it's helping them.
Wow. I can't even wrap my brains around someone telling you that you're too open. And and maybe they haven't. I think all of us have been impacted by it in some form or fashion, if not being abused, someone we know, we're close to. And one of the things I wanted to pull some facts because we talk about education, information, and inspiration. That's the cornerstone of this podcast. And so I want to share some facts about sexual abuse that's very alarming to me. First, we have to point out that younger people are at the highest risk, right? And probably because they're more vulnerable is what I would say. But one out of six American women will be sexually assaulted, or there will be an attempt to sexually assault them. 94% of women who have been raped experience PTSD. Are three times more likely to use drugs. And we're also seeing a connection between this and issues on the job and emotional issues, like I said, at work and in relationships. So there's a correlation there. And when you add the color dynamic, Black girls, for instance, is far worse. And I don't even have the stats on the UK where you are, but you're actually Caribbean, right?
Yes, I'm from the Caribbean. I'm a Caribbean girl.
Yeah, so I don't even have that data, and
I know more information about the Caribbean when it comes to sexual abuse than in the UK because in my home country, I was part of the rape crisis to counsel rape victims. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of unreported cases.
Yes.
And it's like 2 to 10 women are sexually assaulted in my home country. It's 2 to 10 women that were sexually abused. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and I know you talked about the shame or being worried about how people would view you. And kind of expound because you still move forward. Kind of expound on that. For some reason, it sounds like I heard an echo or some. But yeah, kind of expound on about being worried about how people would view you and what finally gave you the courage to come forward.
I blamed myself. And when you talk to most rape victims, they do blame themselves. So I thought it was because of the top I had on, because I had on nothing revealing, but the top had like diamonds on it. So I thought that attracted him early on in the day when he saw me to come rape me in the night. And there was a lot of self-blame where I thought it was my fault. Probably I moved seductive. You know, I was looking for reasons to blame myself and not blame the abuser.
Wow.
And it was hard to come up because being a virgin at that age and now having to say that you're not a virgin anymore, growing up in a Christian home, I was afraid. I thought I would have lost friends. I thought people wouldn't have believed me. And at school, I had friends who denied the fact that, yeah, you lie, you had sex and you're just afraid your parents would have schooled you. But when it comes to my Christian family and my immediate family, I had the support. But I was still ashamed of being stereotyped by society because, you know, they make you feel once you're raped, you become dirty and unclean and unwanted. So that was a battle for me for years, even after my family knew.
And I do remember on your one of your episodes, you talked about dress, and you know, and that's something that we have to point out, because you said just said now, which is so accurate. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, and you know, true. You can dress. You know, you could be seductive, but that gives no one the right. And so, and I've heard those comments before from men and women. And, you know, it just is so much that we have to learn and understand about what this is, this heinous act. And as I said, we both share a passion for our youth. And but I'm also passionate about, and you are too, preventing and addressing not just domestic violence and sexual abuse, and sharing anything we can do to get in front of it. I think we will gain so much by sharing that. So let me make it clear, we don't blame the people who were victimized. That's definitely the wrong mindset, but is there anything we can share to raise antennas of someone who may be in a predicament that they could probably get out of, or any advice that you would have or share?
I would say I think the thing is, we need to understand what is sexual abuse, because most people being sexually abused and they don't even know. Like in one of my lives, I talk about being sexually assaulted by your spouse. And many people don't know that you can be raped and sexually assaulted by your spouse, even family members touching and, you know, taking it as a game. But then it leaves trauma, because that was one of the things that I've went through, where family, friends, you know, will touch my private part as a child. And into adulthood, it was traumas that I was still dealing with. So I think we need to be more aware and mindful, even parents, of people that may groom your kids and buy them gifts to keep them quiet. And if you think that you're in an abusive relationship, you would know. People think that if everybody else don't think it's not abuse, it's not abuse. Abuse is how it's affecting me. If it's affecting me negatively, it is abuse and it makes me uncomfortable. And if you think that you're in that situation, seek help. Speak to someone that is respected, and someone that is going to listen to you, because there are people that will allow you to talk, but they won't listen to your cry for help. Speak to someone that would listen to your cry for help. Make a report. If you can't make a report because you're afraid of your safety, get someone to make the report for you. But I think it's about time that we speak up, and not, you know, like you're in a train and you've seen a man sexually assaulting a female where he's groping on her, and you sitting and not doing anything to help. We as a society need to stand up against sexual abuse on children, male and female, and adults.
Facts. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's hard to believe that at one point in time in my state, up until like the late 80s, a man could sexually assault his wife and it wasn't considered a crime. And that just mind. I don't know about the UK or
no, you can't. You can't sexually assault your wife here. You'll be jailed.
Yeah. I imagine though that at one point it wasn't a crime. You know, maybe before time all, but it just blows my mind that at one point that it was considered okay. You were married. It just And how old were you? I think you tell me how old you were. I know you were a child.
When I first experienced sexual assault without penetration, I was between the ages of 8 and 9. And when I was raped, where penetration took place, I was 17 years old. Wow. And then in a relationship at the age of 28 and 29, I experienced sexual abuse from my ex-partner.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. So it sounds like we're talking about three offenders. Did you know all three of them? Because it it's important.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it's important to mention that because usually if you know the offender, there's some level of trust involved. So that's all. But go ahead. Did you know all three offenders?
So one of the first ones when I was between the ages of 8 to 9, well, it was two offenders around that age group. One was a cousin and the other one was a very close family friend where we would do sleepovers and he was an adult, I was the child. And when I was raped with penetration and lost my virginity, I knew about him, but I only met him that day and he broke into the house and raped me that night. So I didn't know him. I knew about him because he was incarcerated. He was an ex-con. So this was my first time seeing him. So there was no trust. I was scared of him, actually, because he had so much piercings and tattoos and he was big and strong with big dreadlocks. So it had no trust there at all when I met him for the first time during the day.
Wow. And so I'm just sitting here thinking about you sharing this story, and your Amended Mondays, the podcast right now. That's why the Amended Mondays, I think, is so important. If I must say, you have a voice, because I can only imagine, let's think about before social media, how many people endured this and didn't have a voice, didn't have a platform. So
exactly.
Yeah. Did you find that your faith was compromised by these violations? And I'm asking because maybe someone is in a similar or was in a similar situation and now they're questioning God because they had to endure something so heinous and they don't know where to turn. So how did your faith sustain through this?
When I was raped at 17, I cannot lie to you. In the moment, like some days after, you know, I was real praying and talking to God. And then like when reality hit me that this really happened, I became angry with God. I didn't want any part of church. I didn't even want to. I stopped praying from someone that used to pray every day. Jesus was my best friend before that. But the night I was raped was a night I was supposed to lead in a street service. So I was like, God, how could you make something cruel happen to me when my heart's desire was to please you? And I became bitter towards God and I thought he hated me. And at the age of 19, I went to a church event and my mom came to me and she's like, I know no one here knows about what you have experienced, talking about the rape. And she's like, but there's a girl that is saying that she's trying to take her life because she has been experienced sexual abuse. Can you come speak with her? That day when I spoke to that girl and I had to tell her, hey, I understand. I know how you feel. Don't give up. Every word that I was speaking to her started ministering to me because I was telling her, you still have purpose. Don't give up. You can still accomplish your goals. This is not the end of your life. I know how you feel it. It was like everything I was saying to her, I was now saying it to myself. And that on that day is when I realized that my pain was connected to my purpose.
Wow. And that's a powerful last statement you just made, because as I asked earlier about therapy and coming on social media, I could imagine that there's also, it's also therapeutic to mentor and give testimony to someone. So those individuals, were any of them ever, and I know our listeners are wondering, were any of them ever charged or incarcerated behind what they did?
But the rape case, my parents did, you know, go to the station, and then I became wary. It was too much for me. I felt like having to see what took place is me being raped all over again. That's how it felt. And it was just too much for me.
Absolutely.
But 5 years after raping me, he was murdered, and it had nothing to do with me. And I felt like I was free because I could have now speak openly about what he did and not. Because I was even on radio stations in my home country, you know, giving my testimonies. And I was able to do that because I know he was no longer alive, because I was afraid, because he was somebody that was in jail for murder. So I know he was capable of taking my life. And that was the threat. He told me, if you ever tell anyone, I will kill you. And I did tell my parents. So of course I know he wants me dead. But when he was murdered, I became free. And I know I have people who I mentor and friends and family who I know they can't speak because their offender is still alive.
Yeah.
So they feel trapped still. And that is why I say I will be a voice for the voiceless. Because for those who are not brave enough to speak, because the way that I experienced in the relationship, well, that did went to court and stuff, but no jail time was spent. No jail time was given for that offense, but the person is still alive. But because I'm healed and I know who I am in Christ now, I'm not afraid to speak, because I need to speak for the girl that in the situation being sexually assaulted by her partner, she cannot speak because she's afraid. So when I speak and I share my testimony, it's just for me, but I'm speaking on behalf of her and myself.
Amen. Wow. There was something else about when I listened to your Mended Mondays, and you got into the weeds, and I appreciate that too, because you said that you could be in the middle of the act and still say no, and no means no. And that is so true, because there are some people who falsely believe that that once it starts, it that they can continue regardless of what that person said. And so that's also important.
Exactly.
Yeah. Were there any professional setbacks after this? Like, I know on a personal level you talked about, but like career-wise, job-wise, I mentioned the data earlier, and did any of that pour over into the workplace where you had a hard time at work?
At 17 is when I was raped. I couldn't communicate with the opposite sex. So to communicate with men for a long time was extremely hard. When I was dealing with the assault in the relationship, the same thing reoccurred. I now didn't want men close to me, don't touch me, don't look at me too long. So it's affected how I communicated with the opposite sex, because at that time, dealing with the hurt and the pain, every male was an abuser. If you weren't my father, you were an abuser. My father was like, oh, daddy, I love you so much because you never hurt me.
Yeah.
But every other man, I started like, I don't want nobody to touch my father. I'm overprotective of him because he's the only man that never brought me pain.
Wow. And how long do you think it took you to transition or get out of that mindset?
After being raped at 17, I would say at the age of 22, after I had my first son, that is when I started, because I made a boy child. And I realized now that not all males should be labeled abusers, because I didn't want my son to be labeled.
Yeah.
So because of the compassion I had now as a mother is when I started giving, okay, not every man is abuser. You need to hear them out. You need to give them a chance. You need to allow people. If God forgives you, you need to learn to forgive others. And I think that is what helped me, my relationship. I would say to deal with any type of abuse and mental health, you need to have a spiritual connection with God, because you can end up mentally unavailable, that you don't know yourself. You need to connect to God, because if I didn't have that connection with God,
yes,
I think I would have been in the right frame of mind after all the trauma that I've been through.
Yes. And so that's 5 years of thinking like that. That's, yeah. And that's a long time when you think about it. But I think what you just said could also be a message to men, whether in school or in the workplace, when we're interacting and engaging with people of the opposite sex, because we don't know what that person experienced. And number one, you should be respectful at all times, but especially in the workplace, your language, your comments, even putting hands on, those are things that we should be mindful of. Number one, in the ideal work organization, there are policies in place that prohibit this, but even if they weren't in place, we should be mindful of how we engage and interact. And remember that respect should be our guide, right?
I agree. Can I say something?
Always.
One of the things I think that is downplayed is verbal sexual abuse.
Yes.
People think that it doesn't tarnish you in any way because your body was not violated, but your body heals physically. How do you heal your mind when there's a man keep telling you how he thinks your private parts look?
Yeah.
And every time you see that one particular man, he's saying the same things to you. It has the same trauma effects as a rape victim. And people take this for granted, but it leaves long-term stigmas in people's mind. It hurts. Because now you are a woman and you're afraid to wear certain clothes because you don't want them. Oh, I'm afraid. I'm passing. He's there. Because if you're telling me I just want to rip off your clothes, I'm going to think that one day you're really going to do it.
Yeah.
So every time I see you, I am going to be traumatized about having to see you in person. And I think that is something that is overlooked, that we need to start to make a stand about to protect ourselves as women and men.
I think, thank you for sharing that. That was so important to mention. And I'm thinking of, and I know of employees who were under so much stress in those situations that they actually had to leave the job and didn't get the support that they should have. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, so the Mended Mondays, it's a great concept. It's a great way to engage IG users. What gave you the idea? What made you first think about that?
Oh, so, well, the name Mended came from the group that I used to mentor young people and young women, which is Broken Crowns Can Still Be Mended.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me share my testimonies and say that, you know, it's Mended Monday. So it's the beginning of the work week.
Yeah.
And I had the idea for a while, and because I was afraid of being live on social media, you know, and as one of my friends told me, she's like, I think you need to be a voice for the women that were raped, because, you know, my daughter has a friend who's dealing with rape right now and she cannot speak up because it's a doctor.
Yeah.
And that was the confirmation. She told me that Sunday, amended Monday started that Monday after. Because I was like, no, it's time for us to speak out. So I say that Mended Mondays is me being an anxiety coach.
Yeah, wow. And so when we talked before the recording, you shared something with me, and I can tell you that I was just in awe, and I had to definitely give honor to God in this, but I believe you mentioned it was your aunt, I think, when she talked about how far your Mended Mondays would spread. And she mentioned, tell our listeners about
that same friend that spoke to me on the Sunday. She said to me, she said, open your voice and speak and do it this week. She didn't tell me which day. She just said, do it this week coming. And God is going to use you to reach United States. And it's going to minister to people that you would never see in person. So when you contacted me and I saw L.E., I was like blown away. It was like, all this happened in less than a month time. The words that she gave me were confirmed by you and me being a part of your podcast. So I'm very thankful for you allowing me the opportunity to fulfill God-given purpose beyond barriers.
Wow. That just had me emotional and speechless when you first shared it with me. And even now, but it's both of us, you being vessels and God working in this, that's what's just so powerful about it. And you just fall on your knees and give thanks. So it has been so great to converse with you. We definitely, again, applaud you. Any final words, anything that we missed or I missed that you want to talk about or mention right now?
I think we covered everything, but one of the things I wanted to see is that pain, so whatever is hurting you right now, it will be connected to your purpose. The reason that God is allowing the enemy to touch you is because he knows you are going to overcome it. You are going to be a success story of your pain. Your pain is connected to your purpose, and your gifts open doors to fulfill purpose. If I didn't have a salon at that time, there wouldn't have been a door for my purpose to impact the lives and mentor others. So allow your gift to help you fulfill God-given purpose.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm so big mentorship, and you just something. Everyone has a voice. So thank you for sharing that, and thank you, Unique Natty, and we will talk again. Paths will cross. Hope to have you back on. I will follow up with you. You're more than welcome to do the same. And I just, I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, the Unknown Pastor.
Amen.
I love your concept of spreading empowerment and telling people about somebody that can save anybody without you getting any public fame. I adore you and salute you for that.
Oh man, God be the glory. And again, thank you again, and we will continue this. Amen.
Bless you.
So that's our show for this week. Again, I want to thank Unique Natty, a survivor, a teacher, mentor. She's just a woman of courage. And to our listeners, we will see you next week as we do our part to make the world a better place. And no matter, and we say it every time, no matter how high we get, we'll never, ever, 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 ever stop looking up to God. Peace.
It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher.